We were discussing the status of Kosa B'Ksav Yado last time, and I want to finish with that first, and then we'll see if we can get to something else. So again, the background was the Mishnah that is quoted here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. It's really the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph. But if you look here on Gimel Amud Beis, it's quoted in the context of this Gemara. This Gemara was discussing the problem, who is the author of the Mishnah, of the rule, of the Gzeira, that the Masechta begins with, that you have to make a statement of B'fanai Nechta, B'fanai Nechtam. So when you bring Get Medina Sayam, you have to proclaim B'fanai Nechtam that the Get was written in my presence, the Get was signed in my presence. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbo, who says that that's based on Lishma, they're worried about the Get not being written Lishma. So is there a requirement of Ksiva and Chasima Lishma? So that's, in the context of that, the Gemara wants to prove whether the Mishnah could be according to Rabbi Eliezer or according to Rabbi Meir. So when it wants to discuss whether Rabbi Eliezer, who says Eide Nasira Karsi, the Eidim don't need to sign inside the Shtar, they can just be present when you hand over the Shtar, Eide Nasira Karsi, is that even on a Drabbanan level, or the Drabbanan is a requirement to sign the Shtar? So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Tzan, a few lines down, about 9 lines down on Gimel and Beis. The time Gimel Gittim Psulim, the Mises Havlad Kosher. Kosa Biksav Yado Vein Olavedim, Yesh Olavedim Vein Bozman, Yesh Bozman Vein Bo Eloid. Achad Arelu Shlosha Gittim Psulim, the Mises Havlad Kosher. So the Mishnah mentions the three Gittins, the Mishnah later on in Pei Vav Amud Aleph, the three Gittin that are disqualified Midrabanan, but Minatora they work, and if you were to go ahead and you were to use them, then the Vlad would not be a Mamzer if a child was produced from the marriage, the second marriage, in other words, based on that first Get, but which turned out to be a Get Pasul Midraban. That's the Mishnah. So Derech Agav, the Rishonim talk here, as they do on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, a little bit about Kosav Viksav Yado, this idea that you could have what seems to be a shtar without any witnesses at all, not Edim Mesira, not Edim who are present when the document is handed over, and not certainly Edim Kasima. That's what Tosis addresses here. When Tosis says, Dir Maso Shlosha Gitim Psulim, if you look on the first of the wide lines, Tosis says, previously, the last few words. V'afagav Rav Meir Sabar, the Kosav Haino V'chasam. If Rav Meir believes that the word V'chasav La Sefer Krisus means V'chasam La Sefer Krisus, meaning it refers to Eide Chasima. Eide Chasima make, they define the Shtar. V'komakom Kosher Avlad B'Ksav Yadov Eino Levedim. Nonetheless, it seems that Rav Meir can live with the conclusion that a Ksav Yad, right, a handwritten document without any kind of signatures, would Minatora be effective and the child would not be a mamzer? Why? Dekivin Shabal Atzma Kosav Eimcha Chasima Gedola Mizu. His handwriting is better than Eimcha Chasima Gedola Mizu. But the question is, what does that mean? When we talk about the Chasimos, we're talking about the Chasimos of the Eidim. Right? The signatures of the two objective witnesses who are detached from the case. We talk about Chasimos and Chasima Karsi, we're talking about them. What does Tosis mean that when the Mischayev himself, the Baal, right, writes out the stipulations, the agreement in his own handwriting, Ein lecha Chasima gedola mizu? Who's Chasima? Chasima Seidim? Why is that equivalent to Chasima Seidim? Well, we think the objectivity of the witnesses is what determines their effectiveness, and he is the first party here. So we don't understand exactly what Tosis means. Rashi on Pei Vav, which we've already discussed, says, Ksav Yado Kimea Edim Dami. And the Rashba zeroes in on that idea as well, meaning it's based on Hodas Baldin Kimea Edim Dami. Okay, that already brings us closer. Maybe that's what Tosis has in mind as well. The problem with that is, as we've already noted, that the Gemara in Kiddushin Samachemid base, which we have here on our sheets, says that when it comes to Kiddushin at least, since it's Chav Lachrini, since other people are affected by this Ishus, namely the relatives, right, when you get married, it's not just the husband and the wife, but there are Yisurim now, in terms of being involved with relatives. So since that's the case, it's chav lachrini, or some other definition of chav lachrini, therefore hodah spaldin kimeidim dami shouldn't apply to kiddusha. And Tosfos on Daled Amud Aleph, which we saw last week, says hu adin legabei gittin. So it's not so obvious that hodah spaldin kimeidim dami should apply to gittin. So you could say that that's the basis of ksav yada. So what does Tosfos mean when they say ein lecha chasima gedola mizu?
Authenticity. Ein lecha chasima.
Yeah.
Where did it? They're saying this is authentic.
Oh.
And that's what this means. The authenticity of the document.
So that's a very good point, and that's, I think you're 100% right. But we're going to just examine that a little bit more. In other words, you're suggesting it's not the objectivity or the detachment of the witnesses per se. Their objectivity and their detachment qualify them in terms of credibility. But credibility for what? Credibility for establishing the authenticity of the document. But if you have them, you know, if you have an embodiment of the person himself, in the chasima gedola mizu, we're not trying to recreate the chasima sa'edim. In a way, the chasima sa'edim are trying to establish the presence of the Baal and the intent of the Baal Davar. So if you have the intent of the Baal Davar directly there, in the chasima gedola mizu, I think you're 100% right. He.
But how cases are that she possessed the...
She receives the get.
Yeah,
but he creates the get.
Yeah, he creates the
get. Right.
But that,
and we're trying to figure out his intent.
The Gemara that she might... How are we afraid is,
that she might forge it.
Right.
Right, but that's a different point. That's why we have the funny enough, the funny enough.
All right.
But we're worried about this being an authentic document that comes from him. And therefore, if you have his ksav, yeah, that's the problem. Maybe she forged it and it isn't his... intentions at all, but if you have his handwriting, that's what we're saying. Well, we have to establish that it's his handwriting. Okay, fine. Right, but what? How do you establish it? You can either he can do it himself, or you can have people, handwriting experts, you know, people who have seen him sign things before, who can. That's a general question.
Right.
So let's assume that's not a problem here. What we're interested in is a different question. That is, fine. Let's believe it's his handwriting, but is this a legal document? Normally, a legal document looks like, you know, stipulations with witnesses. But what we're saying now is, yeah, that's because the witnesses are necessary to establish that this is all true, real, and authentic. But there's no greater authenticity than it's like, you know, the embodiment of his own will in this piece of paper. Maybe that's what it means. Normally we think of it as Edom are the high standard, the gold standard. However, for only affects him, you know what, we'll take his word too. But in something like this, maybe it's even more. I think that Tosis is not saying Hodas Padin Kinedim Dami. I think he's saying what he says. Ein lecha chasima gedola mizu. Meaning, if we needed to recreate witnesses, in Chav Lachrini, like getting the Kiddushin, maybe you can't do that. Only in Dini Mamedes you can do that. But that's what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to recreate witnesses. It's like what Rabbi Arbisol just said. It's the opposite. The witnesses are trying to recreate his will. But we don't need to recreate his will. We have it in living technicolor, as they used to say. I don't think they'll say that. It's right here in the signature. Because that's his... It's me, Piv. Well, let me say it a little better, and then maybe this will help us going forward. Just give me one more second. And that is, when we discussed the problem of shtaros to begin with, but we said, how can a shtar exist? This is the problem that Rishonim asked, right? How can any shtar exist? After all, there's a principle of me, PM, well, let me pick up. So we have different answers to this question, as we discussed. But the most popular answer in Rishonim, why is a shtar not a problem of me, pick up, is because of Das and the Skaiv. The difference is, the piksavam is witnesses who are trying to testify as detached, objective observers, right? So if they want to do that, they have to come to court. They can't write their testimony and mail it in. However, a shtar is not objective testimony alone. What it really is primarily is das and miskayiv. It's an expression of the will of the miskayiv. In this case, that would be the Baal. So the truth is, the edim attest to the Das and the Skayev, but in a way, Ein lecha chasima gedola mizu. We have the Das and the Skayev right in front of us. Right? We have a hologram of the Das and the Skayev in the signatures. He's expressing his view. You don't need witnesses to say, oh, we were there, this stipulation was agreed to by him. We have it in his own handwriting. So that's much more than Hodas Balin Kameidim Narbi. Hodas Balin Kameidim Narbi means we're looking for Edim in a court setting. Hodas Balin can give you that too, in an inferior way. No one would ever say about Hodas Balin that they're better than Enmei Edim. Hodas Balin Kimei Edim is not better than Mei Edim. But in the Shtar, we're not looking for Mei Edim really. We're working for an expression of Das and the Chayiv. Yeah. That's the language of the Gemara. But in Priestess and in a few other places, Rabbis, that might be a different point. It's a similar idea, but again, in his own domain. Even then, do we really mean it, or do we mean it as a Hischaivus, not necessarily as a Nemanus? That's a question. That's a Xos. We showed him already, but the Xos, famous Xos, is in the Manadalad. Discuss that question as well.
The wording of Tosfos is Chasima Seidim is Yoter Gadol, because that works on a Rabbanan level, and this only works on a Daraisa level.
Right, but that's a different point. We're trying to figure out how this could work. The whole question is only on a Daraisa level. That Tosfos' question is, it sounds like you think Kasim B'Ksav Yado works even according to Rabbi Meir, even though Rabbi Meir requires a Chasima, forget the Rabbanans for the moment. Right? How could that be? Where are the Eidei Chasima? The answer is this is better than Eidei Chasima. So how come Drabanan wise Eidei Chasima are better? The answer is that has to do with the question of Zman and other things. That's for extraneous reasons. Once they were talking Zman and Aget, they were worried that Ksav Yodo is a problem for that. But, or other such issues. But not issues that reflect on the Doraisa. So you're pointing out an interesting irony. Doraisa, Ksav Yado may have been stronger than Eidei Chasima, even though Midrabanan, Eidei Chasima are fine, and Ksav Yado is no problem. But that'll be for other reasons. Yeah, so you were saying something else. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Okay. So this is Kasa B'Ksav Yado. This is Eidei Chasima Gidola Mizu. With that, let's go back to a little bit what we discussed last week. Last week we were discussing, again, what we've been discussing in Ksav Yado, this idea of the autograph or the signatured document. So we're discussing it on three levels. Gittin, Dine Mamanus, right? And we've alluded to Kiddushin, which I want to speak about a little more this evening as well. So in Gittin, we also discussed the relationship between Gittin and Dine Mamanus. It's the same. Gittin requires a kinyan. Maybe Dine Mamanus only requires a Yeskaibus, so it's not really the same at all. And Machlokas, we saw some of the Shitas last week. One of the things we were discussing at the very end of last week was the problem in Dine Mamanus, whether or not you treat a Ksav Yad like a Shtar with regard to the question of Shtar Chaviyadi, my boy. Which means, let's say I lend you $100, right? And then I come to you and I say, it's time to pay up a year later. And you say to me, thank you so much for the loan. Don't you remember I paid you back a month ago? Right? Paraiti. So in a regular milva alpeh, the rule is that the burden of proof is on the malva. If you want to collect, you have to prove that he didn't pay you back. Right? Adam nemar loma paraiti. However, it's a milva bishtar. So then, the burden of proof is on the Lova, because the Malva says, Shtarka biyadi, my boy. I have that Shtar in my hand. You should have demanded it be returned or ripped up or kept the Shovar, as we discussed. So there's a major debate which we discussed last week, and that is, what about Ksav Yad? Ksav Yad is not Gova Minachasa Mishubadim. You can't collect from a Ksav Yad, you can only collect B'nei Chori, which means unencumbered property, can't collect liens, mortgages. On the other hand, what about Shtar Chaviyadi, my boy? If the guy claims I repaid you, can you say, holding a Ksav Yad, can you say, what do you mean you repaid me? If you repaid me, why am I still holding the Ksav Yad? How come you don't have a shofar, or this isn't ripped up, or taken away from me? Can you say that or not? So we saw last week, the Rashbam, Tosfos in Ksuvos, Tosfos Rita Bava Basra, the Balamor, all of them say, what's the difference? the logic behind Shtar Chov Yad Maiboi applies equally to a Ksav Yad as it does to a Shtar. Namely, if there's outstanding damaging evidence, you're not going to leave it out there if indeed you've already paid your debt. Why leave evidence behind? Right? Why let him raise the issue anew with an apparent piece of evidence when you already paid? So from a pure umdana level, it looks like, on the surface, that Shtar Chov Yad Maiboi should apply to Ksav Yad. However, we saw that there's a group of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rambam, the Rif, who say that Shtar Chov Yad Maiboi does not apply to Ksav Yad. And the question is why? So we explained last week, the Ramban says, because there's no Shibudim, there's no Shtar Chov Yad Maiboi. But he explains it in a very practical way. What he says is, listen, the question is, how damaging is the outstanding evidence? So if I leave a smoking gun, you know, that's obviously problematic. But let's say I leave something a little less damaging out there. You know, not a smoking gun, you know, a piece of paper. It might cause me a little bit of, you know, annoyance or embarrassment, but not terrible. That's the argument of the Ramban. The Ramban says, listen, hey shtar, which is gobe minuchasim mishubadim, no one's going to leave that out there. But, hey ksav yad, since anyway you can't be gobe minuchasim mishubadim, so people aren't going to be as careful. That's a judgment call. You know, in the umdana world, you know, how many people is that going to make a difference to, and how many people does it, you know, does an umdana take? But, okay, that's the Ramban. The Rif and the Rambam, on the other hand, seem to say the reason that there's no Shtar Chov Yad Maiboi by Ksav Yad is because legally and formally, a Ksav Yad isn't a Shtar. A Ksav Yad is the equivalent of Milva Al Peh with a written proof. But it doesn't have the legal status of Shtar. So we tried to explain last week, what does that mean? What does Shtar Chov Yad Maiboi have to do with being a Shtar? It sounds like a very practical question. If I have a piece of evidence, right, and you paid me, you would have insisted that the evidence be neutralized. What does that do with legal, the formal question, whether or not we consider a ksav yad a legal halachic contract, yes or no? And yet, if you look at the language of the Rif, which we read last week in Bava Basra, and I tried to particularly demonstrate this in the Rambam, because, again, one more time, if you look at the Rambam, I think it was on page 1... to, I think it's 4. The Rambam says, "Hotzi alav ksav yado." This is Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Malbo Velova Halacha Gimel. Everybody have this? Page 4. Gemara said, the Rambam says, "Hotzi alav ksav yado shu chayev lo ve'ein shamedim." Right, the guy produces a ksav yad, exactly what we're talking about, and there are no edim, meaning it's just an autograph. Alpha bishuk ksav yad of the bezin, even though it's been authenticated. That's you. Some of the people around the room are worried about that. That's a gemara at the end of Bava Basra, Kufayin Vav, has to be authenticated. Hareza kimilva al peh l'chol davar. Right, he's talking about its formal status. V'imtan shepara, and if the guy claims I paid you. So the Rambam says there are two consequences to his designation. The Gemara doesn't have this designation, that a ksav yad is milva al peh. One is, there's no, if the guy says paraiti, he is neman. There's no shtar chov yad maiboi. And two is, there's no gniya minachasim mishubadim. The two, right, primary characteristics of milva al peh as opposed to milva bishtar, what differentiates a right loan contract from a verbal loan agreement, are two things: shtar chov yad maiboi and shibudim. So the Rambam mentions this lashitas, like the Rif, shtar chov yad maiboi, shibudim. What I tried to be medayik last week was the Mishnah in Bava Basra says no shibudim for ksav yad. Right, that we read already, also in the sheets, we discussed that. But the halacha that there's no shtar chov yad maiboi isn't in the Gemara. Most Rishonim think it's not even true. Right? Rajbam, Tosus, Tosus Rid, Balamor. At best, it's a controversial topic in the Rishonim. So if you were the Rambam and you had to write the consequences of Ksav Yad, which would you put first? Shalchav Yadim Ibar or no Mishabadim? The one that's explicit in the Mishnah or the one that is debated hotly in the Poskim? Well, we'll take the Mishnah. That's point number one. But point number two is even stronger. I think I mentioned last week. If you look at the Kesed Mishnah, Kesed Mishnah reads the Rambam through the eyes of the Ramban. Because how come there's no Shalchav Yadim Ibar? Because there's no Shibud. There's no Shibud, so you're not going to be so careful, right, to receive the outstanding evidence. The evidence isn't so damaging after all. It's a little damaging, not a lot damaging. Meaning, this has nothing to do with Milva Peh, Milva Bishar. It has to do with the Umdana itself. But, number one, the Rambam makes it very clear that all this has to do with the status of Milva Alpeh, right? Hareza ke Milva Alpeh l'chol davar. Secondly, if the Rambam really was working with the idea of the Ramban, which does he have to mention first? No Shibudim or no Shtarchav Yadim Ibar? You have to mention no Shibudim, because that's the only reason that there's no Shtarchav Yadim Ibar. So A, he opts for the controversy before the explicit Mishnah. B, the order is opposite of what it should have been if the Ramban's reading had applied to the Rambam. C, the Rambam says himself that this is about the status of Milva Alpeh as opposed to Milva Bishtar. The only question is, what does it mean? Meaning, if the Rambam holds that both Shibudim and Shtarchav Yadim Ibar are a function of Milva Alpeh and Milva Bishtar, why should that be so? Why isn't it just the plain old regular umdana? And the umdana has nothing to do with legal status, it's just pragmatic. Take a poll. See how many people would walk away without getting back the evidence? How many people would not? What does it have to do with Milva Alpeh, Milva Bishtar? So at the very end of last week's shir, I mentioned that there's another Rambam and a Reb Chaim, and I want to just speak about that a little bit, and then tell you another Reb Chaim, and then try to put it together, tell you my theory of how it goes together. If you look at Halacha Aleph, and then we'll see how it ties back into that Tosis, if I'm right. Hilchos Malva Velova Perikid Aleph Halacha Aleph, just to flip over to page 3, the Rambam says as follows. Hamalvas chaver b'fneidim, o sh'omel eidim heyo alay eidim, sh'ani chayiv l'zeh mana, o atem eidai sh'ani chayiv l'zeh mana, zu nikres milva alpeh. Right? I'm sorry, it was 4?
4.
Oh, okay. I guess I have a different... I thought I have this one. Okay. I have my personal copy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Malvus Chaver B'Fneidim O Shomel Eidim Heyo Ala Eidim Sheni Chayv Ozem Mano Atem Eidai Sheni Chayv Ozem Mano Zu Nikreis Milva Alpeh Bein Tzorach Lefaru Be'Eidim. What does Rambam say? If a person enters into a verbal agreement with someone else and he lends money, right? That's a Milva Alpeh. And the Gemara discusses whether or not, if I borrow money, even if I borrow it in the presence of witnesses, do I have to repay it in the presence of witnesses? And the Gemara paskins that you don't. If I borrow money, even if there are witnesses at the time, it doesn't obligate me to repay in the presence of witnesses. Lefikach, therefore, in Tan v'Omar achakach paraiti nishba hesus v'niftar. So therefore, the guy afterwards comes and he says, you know, you owe me my money. And he responds all over and he says, I paid you. He's potter. On the other hand, aval, right? Let's say it's milva malvus chaver bishtar, contract. Tzorach lefar obeidim. Then he has to repay him in the presence of witnesses. Lepikach, therefore, in ton goma paraiti shtar ze, eno neman. The guy claims I repaid you. He's not believed. El omrim lo o habeidim o amod v'shalem lo chogo. So Reb Chaim pointed out something subtle but compelling, and that is, didn't the Rambam just reverse the logical order of these two halachos? One would have thought, if you were operating with the normal idea of Shtarchav Yadim Ibar, again, what's the normal idea of Shtarchav Yadim Ibar? It's an umdana, meaning I'm not going to, if I really paid you, I would have collected the evidence. If I didn't collect the evidence, I probably didn't pay you. Now, if that's the case, what is the relationship between these two factors? One, do you have to repay in the presence of witnesses? Two, are you Neman when you said Paraiti? One would have thought that the reason in a Milah B'Shtar that you have to pay back in the presence of witnesses, right, all things being equal, is because if you don't, you're going to end up in trouble because of Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy. Since we don't believe you when you claim that you repaid if there's an outstanding Shtar against you, therefore, if you don't want to collect the Shtar, you better pay in the presence of witnesses. So which is the cause and which is the effect? Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, claim is the cause. The effect is, if you want to avoid it, there are two ways you can avoid it. One is, make sure you collect your shtar, or keep your shofar, or have witnesses. But that's not what the Rambam said. The Rambam said exactly the opposite. Instead of saying, the shtar could better my boy, therefore you better pay the witnesses. The Rambam said the other way. In a milbal peh, there's no reason, no obligation to pay in the presence of witnesses, and therefore when you say you paid, we believe you. But in milbal b'shtar, there's an obligation to pay in the presence of witnesses, and therefore if you don't, and the guy has a shtar, my boy, we believe him and we won't believe you. So Chaim said, what's going on here? That's not the normal way that we look at shtar chabiyani, my boy. So Reb Chaim said, in the stencil, at least this is what they say that he said, apparently this has to do with a kind of prerogative. It's a position of strength for the Malva and Amilva B'Shtar. The Malva and Amilva B'Shtar, right, is on higher legal ground. Since this loan isn't just a verbal, but a contracted loan, a contract loan, therefore his position is strengthened, and therefore the Lova has to repay, the Lova has to always prove his repayment. And if the Lova has to prove his repayment, and he can't, then Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, will win. That's what Chaim says. Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, is not an umdin at all. Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, is a schus that is a function of the status of Milva B'Shtar. That's a totally different idea of Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy. However, there's another of Chaim. This one is not written down, as far as I know. But this is me, Piyashua. The Rav used to say this in name of Reb Chaim. That it seems to be a different point, but I'd like to suggest that they can be integrated. And that different point goes as follows. This is a very important principle. Earlier in the year, again, we were discussing the idea of shtaros, right? And especially we talked about the Gemara Daf Gimel and Aleph and Gittin, Reish Lakish, Edim Hachasumim al Hashtar, Edim was signed into the shtar, Nasa. It's as if they were interrogated, right? And it's as if they're giving testimony. But they didn't see anything. They signed in before the main event. They signed in when the get or the shtar was being prepared. They weren't even there when the handover, which is the transaction, took place. What's going on? Moreover, how do Edim and a shtar tell you that a shtar is authentic? Isn't that a catch 22? We're worried about the Edim being a forgery, and we basically say the shtar protects itself. The witnesses and the shtar are witnesses that they're not a forgery. How does that work? Not only that, but as we saw, for Reish Lakish, apparently the Edim and the shtar don't just testify, you know, we saw the preparation of the shtar, not even just that we saw the Maisa, but the Gemara says in Ksuvas, how do you know that the Edim weren't coerced at the moment when they signed? How do you know that they weren't Ketanim? How do you know they weren't Psulim? Hakol B'Hechsher Nasa. Rav Chaim understood that this idea of Hakol B'Hechsher Nasa, we assume until we have evidence otherwise, he understood that this is a function of Reish Lakish. Edim Ha'asum Al-Hashtar, Nasa, Kami, Shenechor, Yisum Ha'Bezah. That's the expansive Edim of the Shtar. That's Rav Chaim's big Chiddush in Shtaros. Now, Reb Chaim took this one giant step further. And that was to explain certain Rambam about Starch of Yodim Ayibon. The problem of the Rambam is as follows. The Rambam, I should have put it here on the page. I don't know why I didn't. Just an oversight. The Rambam in Perek Dalid, Hilchos Torin V'Nitan Halacha Ches. It also appears in another place. Perek Yud Dalid, Hilchos Malva V'Lova Halacha Yud. Same ruling, basically. It goes as follows. Let's say you have an Eid Echad, in which there's only... in which there's only an Eid Echad. Right, normally Shtar has two witnesses. We've been talking about a Shtar which has no witnesses, with a Ksavya. That's a different point. But let's say, not a Ksavya, a regular Shtar, instead of having the two witnesses, has one. And that itself is a debate in the Rishonim, whether you can have a Shtar with one witness. Tosus in Ksuvus, Tav Chaf, and Aleph, the one that talks about the Pimblom Piksavam, and again above the Basra, the Kuf Samaches. There's a whole discussion, lively discussion in the Rishonim. Can you have Eid Echad B'Shtar? Maybe the Ashvuya Shtar, maybe the Shtar itself needs two witnesses to be a Shtar. But the Rambam is one of those Rishonim who thinks you can have an Eid Echad B'Shtar. Okay. Now, what would an Eid Echad B'Shtar accomplish? Well, normally, what does an Eid Echad Alpeh accomplish? Shua. Right? Kol Mokom. Sheshnayim Mechayvin Mabon. Eid Echad Mechayiv Shua. Gemara and Shua Staf Mem Amud Aleph. So if that's true in Eidus Alpeh, that would be true in Eidus Bishtar. And normally that would be fine. However, what if you have the following scenario? You have a Shtar, and the Shtar attests to a loan. Right? A borrowed money from B. That's what it says in the Shtar. And it's signed by a single aid. Eid Echad. Okay? Fine. Now, if the guy came to court and he said, I never borrowed money from you. So what would happen? And the guy pulled out a Shtar with Eid Echad. What would happen? You'd make him take a shvuah. He claims that he never borrowed money. The Shtar says that he did borrow money. So we can't force him to pay, right? Because it's kofar akol. But we can force him to take a shvuah, because it's an Eid Echad. That's fine. However, what if the following happened? You have the same Shtar. The guy came to court. He didn't say, I never borrowed money from you. He said, I paid you back yesterday, or a month ago. What happens then? What does the Shtar say? Well, the words of the Shtar just say that he borrowed money a year ago. What's the argument about right now? Whether he repaid the loan. The guy claims I repaid the loan, and the other guy says, and he starts waving his shtar and saying, Shtar Chobiyadi, my boy. So what are you going to say in this case? So logically, one would have thought that one could say one of two things. But the Rambam paskins that we say a third, rather than the two obvious ones. What are the two obvious ones? Well, one would have thought that you just have to assess how much of an umdina is there, how damaging is the evidence, like I said before. Is it a smoking gun, or is it something much less? Just like we talked about the Ramban's model with the Shibudim. The Ramban said, he can't be going to cost him Shibudim anyway. Maybe he's willing to risk it. You know, let him, the guy said, I have a contract, but I forgot it at home. The guy says, you know what, I want to pay you back anyway. It was so nice if you give me a loan. I'm going to rely on his honesty. I would rely on his honesty if he could pull out a document that not only will cause me embarrassment, but will allow him to be govim and chasim mishabadim, but I'm willing to take the risk if the stakes aren't as great. So similarly, here you have a shtar with an Eid Echad, right? So how much do I want that shtar back? Right? The shtar gives me the ability, without the shtar I could say I never borrowed from him ever. On the other hand, so he has one witness, not two witnesses. It's probably weaker than a shtar shein bo shibudim. So the question would have been, if you were looking at it from a pure, pragmatic, shtar chabiyadi, my boy, perspective, so am I going to leave that kind of damaging evidence in his hands sometimes? The answer is either yes or no. Those are the two options. If yes, then there's no shtar chabiyadi, my boy, in a shtar deid echad. And you treat it like a milva alpeh, not because it's a milva alpeh, but because it is no umdina of shtar chabiyadi, my boy. If even that kind of evidence I wouldn't leave in someone else's hands after I repaid him, then what should you say? Eino Neman, and he's got to pay. How does the Rambam paskin in this case? The Rambam says you have to take a shvua. In the end, the Rambam says you have to take a shvua, but you can't take a shvua because of the principle of Naskud Rababa, which we're not going to get into right now. So we told Sheena Yochel Yishava, since you can't, you're obligated to take a shvua, but you can't. Since you can't, you have to pay. But you don't pay because of Shochel Biyari, my boy. You pay because you can't take the shvua. Now, think about it. Where did a shvua come from? The guy doesn't claim that he didn't borrow the money. He admits that he borrowed. Where's the Eid Echad telling him to be Nishba Shalo Para?
Because it's the equivalent of Shtar it's the equivalent of a loan without a Shtar.
But then it should be Neman Lama Paraiti. Why should he take a Shrua? That's what I'm saying. The two options, which are, we apply Shtar Chol Biyari, my boy, because it's an Umdana, we don't believe the guy, he should pay. If you say, you know, it's innocuous enough of a piece of evidence that we don't apply Shtar Chol Biyari, my boy, we should be Neman Lama Paraiti. How do you get this middle ground that he's Nishba? What's he Nishba on? But he can't be Nishba. But the point is that he should be Nishba. What's he Nishba? Low? He's saying Paraiti. And what's the Eid Echad saying? Lo Parata. The Eid Echad is saying Lo Parata? The Eid Echad doesn't know anything. He's long gone. He probably wasn't even there when the loan was given. What does he know about Paraiti? Oh. So this is one of Reb Chaim's most interesting and maybe one of his strongest pieces of evidence for the idea that the Eidim Shevishtar, right, the idea of reading between the lines, the Baal HaShtar, when he holds a Shtar which has Eidim in it, as we discussed, it's like a blank check of Eidim. And he's able to read things in there that are plausible based on Umdanas, but then have the force of Eidim. So he comes with the Eidim, the Reish Lakish, and the Shtar, he says, Ein Zeh Mezuyev, Ein Kan Ketanim, right? And in addition to that, you know, he says, Ein Zeh Amana. Amana means a person produces a Shtar, you know, for when he needs it, but it's not yet in force. In addition, says Reb Chaim, the Eidim Shebishtar say about a shtar, shtar zeh mechuyevu, zeh lo parua. Until the other guy can prove it's parua, it's not just shtar chabiyoni, my boy. The Eidim Shebishtar say lo parua. So if that's the case, the Eid Echad, in the hands of the Baal HaShtar, through a Smokish's din, is saying, not only Lavisa, but Lo Parata. If Eid Echad says Lo Parata, and he says Paraiti, he's Chayav Shvua. And it's an amazing idea, but now, of course, if Eidim come along, even when there are two Eidim in the Shtar, so Reb Chaim's idea is, when how does Shtar Chol Biyari, my boy, really work? It's not Umdana. I mean, of course, it is somewhat of an Umdana. The Umdana triggers Eidus. And much of the matter, let me just explain something else. There's a general question. We've encountered it before. We know the Melitza of Ein Hocha B'Momon Achar Rov. Comes to Dini Mominus, you need Raya, you need Eidus, you don't go by Rov. Now there's a debate among the Rishonim, we've talked about it many times, you know, whether that statement is a real principle or it's the exception. Right, Tosus in Bava Kamma and Tosus in Sanhedrin seem to debate that point. It refers to a weak rove, it refers to a regular rove, because we do accept the majority psak of a bezdin in Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos. And yet the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Chav Zayin and above Basra, Tzali Beis, the Ein Ochel Momon Achar Rov. So it's hard to know what exactly is going on there. But all things being equal, if you take the view Ein Ochel Momon Achar Rov, so this is Rabbi Kudega's question. So, how come Shtar Chol Biyari, my boy, works? What do I mean? Shtar Chol Biyari, my boy, again, what happened? The guy claims, I paid you back. You say, well, if you paid me back, why am I holding on to the shtar? Is that Eidus? If it's not Eidus, why does it have the ability to allow me to collect money from him? All of Araya, he claims he paid me back. Right now he's Kofar HaKol. So I have a star in my hand, and it's unlikely that he is telling the truth if I have a shard in my hand. Unlikely. But unlikely is not Eidos.
It's Rove.
It's Rove. That's exactly what it is. It's a Rove. It's a Ruba Delesa Kaman. In most cases, if I'm holding on to a shtar, then you didn't pay me. In most cases, that's a Rove. But Ein Hochum B'Mumen Acharov, how does that work? But according to Reb Chaim, Shtar Chavir my boy is not just a Rove. It may be triggered by the Rove. The Rove is what makes plausible, even compelling, this argument. And then the argument is projected in the name of the Edom Shib, that's what Reish Lakish says. Edom Aksim Malashtar, Nasa Commission of Ritism of Ezra. So then, this is a problem with Ein Hochum B'Mumen Acharov. The Edom say it. This is a famous discussion. Rabbi Kenegar is a tshuva, I think it's Kufan Mitzayim. Everybody knows they all the Achronim quote this. We say like this. Trey, stake a drop on it. Does that mean? If you have two witnesses, they say, chai. Or this happened. Two witnesses say something else. So it's a deadlock. Hakosha. So there's a debate in the Gemara, whether stake a deraisa or stake a drop on it. Stake a deraisa means if you have, you know, the heavyweights, the titans, can't solve this problem, it's an insolvable problem. And you just, there's nothing you can do. There's no resolution. Trade stake and Rabbanan says, listen, if the big guns are evenly matched, so you go to the next level. Mukmin and Aches Kasa. So Rabbi Kenegar has a tshuva in which he says, only Mukmin and Aches Kasa because that's status quo? Like, Mukmin and Aches means the way it was before. Let's go back to, you know, the stage before we had this clash. And just leave it as it was. Pretend the whole thing never happened. None of the evidence came in. That's what we mean? Or do we mean a lesser form of raya? So, for example, when we say trade, snake it or butter, we say go after chazaka, but would we say go after a rove? Because a rove, so we discussed a lot last year, a rove is not based on the status quo, it's based on probability. This is the difference between probability and status quo are two different ideas. Right. Now, normally we say ruba v'chazaka, ruba adith. This is a little complicated, but, you know. Probability is stronger than status quo. So Rabbi Kenegar says, well, I guess if status quo works, and Rove is stronger, then Rove would work. He says, but if that's the case, how come we never find Shtar Chav Yodi Mai Bai in such a case? Let's say you have two witnesses, come and they say, the guy paid. Two other witnesses come and they say, he didn't pay. And the guy's holding the Shtar. We haven't had that case yet. Trade with a shtar chav yodi mai bai. So Rabbi Kenegar says, what'll happen then? It's like a rove. Right? If it doesn't work, apparently rove doesn't work.
How can witnesses say you didn't pay?
What?
How can witnesses say you didn't pay? They work, they have to
do
their own.
No, let's say the guy claimed that payment took place at a particular moment at a particular time. Meaning the malva says, I mean, Alova says, I paid you back Tuesday morning, you know, in front of the shul, you know, in front of the shul, you know, between 8 and 9 o'clock, and the Malva brings witnesses who say,
I was there,
you know.
Why you were in front of the shul for 1 hour?
Right, I mean, in those days, there was, like, a lot to talk about. Now everybody, you know, it's a different kind of thing. But, right, well, you know, once Chavetz Chaim wrote his Sefer, and that changed everything. Okay. So the, right. So he says, this would be a very good proof, because that's a rove. But in light of Reb Chaim, the point is that a rove? Maybe based on rove, it wouldn't work. Ein Hochum B'Mumen Acharov. The only reason it works is because of Eidos. Trey Kameya. Right? So the point is, if you take the view of Reb Chaim, Shtar Chav Yodi Mai Bai is based on the principle of Eidos, so then we can also revisit the Rambam a little bit. This he did, I don't know if he said, but what did Rambam say? Rambam says that Ksav Yad is not Milva B'Shtar, and therefore there's no Shtar Chav Yodi Mai Bai. So we were asking, well, what's going on? Shtar Chav Yodi Mai Bai is just about an umdana. So if a guy is not going to leave the damaging evidence of the Ksav Yad, right? So then Ksav Yad, Shtar, even if legally Ksav Yad isn't a Shtar, what do we care? We still know that he didn't pay. But the answer may very well be, according to this whole approach, well, that would be based on the rule of Holchim B'Mamon Achar Rov. But that's not how this works. This has to work on the basis of Eidos. Ah, but if it's based on Eidos, now we can understand the difference between Milva B'Shtar and Ksav Yad. Ksav Yad, are you going to apply the din of Reish Lakish? Eidim Achasum Mal Ashtar Nasa Kamishinach. Where are the Eidim? There's no Eidim in Ksav Yad. You might say Eim Achasim Agadol Mizu, which I still want to get back to. You might even say Odos Baldin Kim Eidim Dami, but does that a Reish Lakish make? Eidim Achasum Mal Ashtar, there's nothing, there's no signatures. The Noidi Mesir, the Noidi Chasima. Reish Lakish you don't have. There happens to be a debate, actually, between the Rishonim already, and it's revisited by the Poskim, the Shach and the Ksos, both in Simen Memvav and Simen Samach Tes in Choshen Eshpat. And the Gimel Med Aleph in Gittin, as we read, the Gemara says Kiyum Shtaros as Rabbanan. The need to verify a contract to establish that it isn't a forgery, that's only Med Rabbanan. Why? Because Minat Torah, we have Reish Lakish. Eidim Achsum Al Ashtar Nasa Kamisha Nechkara Eidusan Bebezin. So you don't need anything more than that. Minat Torah. It's only Midrabanan that you require verification. So is that true for Ksav Yad? That's true for Ashtar with Eidim. But say you have a Ksav Yad, like we're talking about. Guy's signature, so seemingly, comes to court. So we trust it? Based on the equivalent of Reish Lakish? Lochot to finish Lizufe? Or not? Maybe there's a din of Kiyum Daraisa? Kiyum Shtar Saraisa? So that's a debate among the Rishonim, it's a debate among the Poskim. What's the point? If it's an Umdana, Lochot to finish Lizufe, people don't generally forge documents, it might apply, it should apply as much to Ksav Yad as it does to a Shtar. But if the Umdana is just the basis for triggering Reish Lakish, and it's a din in Eidos, Eidim Achsum Al Ashtar Nasa Kami, then there have to be Eidim there. You don't have Eidim in Ksav Yad. If this is the case, then we understand exactly what the Rambam is saying in Halacha. Yeah. But how does that work into that other of Chaim about the Schus of Milva B'Shtar and... Oh. So I think they sound like they're very different, but I think if you think about it much more, there really is one common feature, and a feature which Reb Chaim sets at the center of his theory of Shtaros, which combines them both. And that is the principle of Dasa Mischayef. Why is it that we're able to read into the Eidim Shebishtar all of this expansive Agadas Eidos? Because of Dasa Mischayef. Because when the Mischayef agreed to fashion this shtar, to create the shtar to begin with, that's why I call it a blank check of Agadas Eidos. He was signing on whatever reasonable arguments are read into this case in the name of the Eidim Shebishtar as the force of Eidos. That's how this all began. So in a way, that's what the other of Chaim is saying too, wouldn't he? If you have a Milva Bishtar, then implicitly the fellow is committed to pay in the presence of witnesses, meaning he is committing himself to a higher standard of evidence to remove the Chiyuv. What is that? That's Dasa Mischayev. Meaning if I obligate myself to repay a loan, but it's a verbal loan, it's not comparable to the degree of the schaibus, right, that's on the line where when I sign a contract. So when the contractual element is added, it's a reflection of a degree of much more intense personal commitment. That personal commitment is expressed in different ways. It's expressed in the ability of the Eidim Shebishtar to be speaking about events that they didn't read about, or even beyond the ischiyuv into the question of repayment, the continuing relevance, let's say, of the shtar, until we know that it isn't relevant. And included in that is, this is a relevant shtar until you can prove to me the burden of proof being upon you, the mischayev, this more intense mischayevus, that it's not. And that requires amava tzarech lefaro beedim, unless you rip up the shtar. So in a sense, it's both of these ideas together. That's ein lecha chasima gadola mizu. Getting back to the first point. Meaning, what Ksav Yad has, in a way, which makes it even better than a shtar, not where till now we've always operated, where are the edim, right? But we're saying now, there are no edim, so it's a kind of milvah alta. But what Tosus is saying is, if you really want to be consistent about all of this, well, if Dasa Nischayev is at the heart of shtar, then you have even more Dasa Nischayev in Ksav Yad. It won't interact with edim, because there are no edim. But in terms of being effective as a davar hamischayev per se, ein lecha mischayev gadol mizeh, you have the embodiment, instead of the edim being made about the ischayevus, you have the ischayevus in front of you. That's ein lecha chasima gadol mizeh. Finally, let's conclude just with the question of kiddushin. So the kiddushin is no objective evidence in the Gemara one way or another whether Ksav Yada works. Gemara never speaks about Kasav Ksav Yado. We know Kasav Ksav Yado in Get, we know Kasav Ksav Yado in Dine Mamas. There is no explicit Kasav Ksav Yado when it comes to Kiddushin. However, the Rishonim do discuss it. Tosis and Yavamos on Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, page 1 of our photostat. Limute Zman Delese Bekiddushin. Tosas misapkalari, kasa b'ksav yada v'ena levedim, imahani b'kiddushin ilo. T'kivin shein tzaretz man, ma lanu v'ena levedim. This is very interesting. Many people misread this Tosas in light of the Rajba, which I'll talk about in a minute, but what Tosas really is asking is the following. Tosas is assuming that on midaraisa, ksav yad works for kiddushin. If a star works for kiddushin, then ksav yad works for kiddushin. The only question is, what about midrabanan? After all, the Mishnah says, gimel gittim psulit. You can't use a ksav yad as a get midrabanan. Is that true also in kiddushin? Or since it's connected to the lack of zman, which you asked him before, there's no requirement of zman in kiddushin. That's exactly the safek of Tosis. The safek alari, kasav ksav yad avela levedim, imahani bi kiddushin ilo. Midrabanan. The kivin shein tzarek zman, ma lanu meno levedim. So maybe it should work Doraisa and Drabanan? That's Tosas' suffix. But Tosas certainly assumes that Doraisa works. It may even work and be better than Gittin and work even Drabanan. However, the Rajba, on the other hand, says that it doesn't work at all. Hamakadosh, next piece. Hamakadosh beidachar apilu shnei mo demen choshen lekidushan zilol demen kedushan bepokas mishnayim kedo apilu davar davar mimamon apilu kasa beksav yad unami kedemashu bekedushan parak omer dekom bechayev lachrini ksav yad daraisa does not work in kedushan ubegitin demahani ksav yado havetama omishum delo bechayev lachrini. Either there is no chav lachrini in the case of gerushin omishum nechsev vahen bekasav demashma apilu bishakasav who atzmo dai la midlog siva kasav la the heid edim can siva shtar shtaros kasav ha-chasom kasav ha-sefer kasom v'heid edim. So the Rajma is mechadesh that even Doraisa Ksav Yad works in Gittin but not in Kiddushin, and that's what the Rajma says as well in Kiddushin Sabachem and Deis, for three pieces down. I'm not going to read it again, but it's a slightly different formulation. The Ritva and the Ruka Yosef disagree. They say, if you look very quickly, Avalechku Bazera Bosai, Yeshomim Shem Psulim Shavu the Gabi Kiddushim Psulim Heminator Lechal Davar, Shem Dover Shere Pachas Mishnaim, the Gabi Gerushim Mishim Tzitziv Kasavla, the Ein Lemedim Heminator Lechidushim, the Shani Kiddushim the Mechayiv Lachrini. That's the Rajba. which is that it doesn't work in Kiddushin only in Gittin. The Yesh Omrim, the Kivin, the Begerishin, Nami, Bo, Shnayim, the Dovah Shabbi Erbohu, you need two witnesses in Gittin too. And yet you can use Psav Yad, V'hasam Ksiva Gzereshava, Ki Akshir, Achmana Kasa, Psav Yado, Hayim Bishim de Ksav Yado, Kashuv Keedim, Lunevid Maisa, Kishtar, Vafil of Begerishin, Abin in Krisus, V'lahakel, Kol Shukain Bekidushin, Shabba Lesa, V'lahachmer. The Lesa, the Mechash, Baha, Bemaidim, Bechai, V'lachrini. Teda, to iska shabaya liyitziel in kiddushay shtar, the kivin de kenya finan legamri. Hilka kasam eksaviyada kashim natora pasam darbanan, etc. I mean, the Ritva says number one, if anything, it should be more difficult to accomplish gerushin than kiddushin because you're being matir. Here you're only being oser. It's a chomra. One would think that if ksaviyada works in natora and gittin, it certainly works in kiddushin. Secondly, what happened to viyata v'haisa? The Rambam omits Ksav Yado in Hilchos Ishus. He only mentions it in Hilchos Gerushin. Even in Hilchos Gerushin, it's a little bit tricky. But if you just look at the Rambam in Parag Gimel, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Gimel, the last page, Bim Kidesh Bishtar Kosevel on the Yara Lacheres O Al Heola Al Kol Dover Shiyirtsa Haret Mukudeshusli Haret Muresusli Bechol Kiyotsu Vidvarim Elu Vinosul Abifneid. The Rambam only describes in Shtar Kiddushin, Shtar Ve'edim Mesir. No Edei Chasima, which we'll get to, and no Ksav Yado. So some of the Mefarshim say, you just have to look at Ochos Gerushin. It's the same. And the Amshah Shlomo and the Gra say, no. The Rambam thinks that Ksav Yado only works in Gittin, not in Kiddushin. They don't explain why. It could be because of this Kavlach Rini issue, or maybe it's something else. The idea of Enecha Chasima Gedola Mizu makes more sense in Gittin than in Kiddushin. Because, as we've discussed many times, Gerushin is Bal Korcha de Isha. And in Gerushin, the intent to divorce is already significant even before executing the divorce. Because nothing can, Minat Torah, nothing can stop it. Once he decides to be Megaresh, since it's Bal Korcha de Isha, it's just a question of going through with it. In Kiddushin, you can plan all you want. If she doesn't want, it's meaningless. Everything until the moment of the Maisa is a Heksher. So it could be that Kasa B'Ksav Yado, which reflects the Das Habal, is more effective in Gerushin, Enecha Chasima Gedola Mizu, than it is in Kiddushin, which is a bilateral and a consensual contract. And there, maybe you really need the objectivity of Edim to establish a Shtar. If this is the case, it's not a problem of Yatzav Haisa, because Yatzav Haisa, as much as it links the two, doesn't deny that Gerushin is Balkarcha and Kiddushin is not. And if that is what drives the distinctions, then it's not inconsistent with Yatzav Haisa. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next week with the part of the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph and a little more discussion of Shibudim, other important issues.